Blog Talk Radio.
Appeared before the Congressional Committee to tell what I knew of activities which might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
I'm Jim Tucker. I've chased Bilderberg for 30 years. I'll never give up the chase. Bilderberg's plan for the whole world is nothing less than world government.
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Who elected these guys to run the planet?
They are the elitists. They feel they should run the world for their own selfish interests.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government, and only an educated, informed public can stop them in their tracks.
David Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he wants to destroy the United States.
Right.
He's a traitor!
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
I need you to move off the property.
Some shots were fired.
There's Bilderbergers right there.
The Trans-Texas Corridor is a vital part because we stop it here in Texas. We stop the new world order right here in Texas.
This thing started here. And to save this country, we kill this damn thing here.
You're watching The Madness of a Lost Society. November 26, 2010, Black Friday revealed yet further evidence of the complete madness of the populace of our lost society.
In case you didn't hear, the leaders of China and Russia.
China and Russia said that they are renouncing the dollar.
The best way to think of it is a ticking time bomb. At some stage, the dollar will fall sharply.
Now, you might be saying, Neil, what the heck does this mean to me?
As the dollar loses status as the world's reserve currency, as mystery missiles launch just off our shores, as North and South Korea take the world to the brink of war, as the TSA violates all measure of liberty and constitutional rights, and as the U.S. military itself prepares for the coming total economic collapse and breakdown of civil order, this is what Americans care about. Wanton, lustful commercialism, acting like animals fighting over trinkets made by human beings for slave wages. As you watch this horrific video, do you think any of these people own a single ounce of physical precious metal? Any gold? Any silver? Do you think that even one of them understands what the Federal Reserve is, or that the Fed is spending them into oblivion and economic slavery? Do you think even one among them has made any preparations at all for the day when there is no food on grocery store shelves? And do you think the morally bankrupt executives at Target or Walmart even care? This is what we've become. A decadent, mindless culture who, by virtue of this complete and willful ignorance, are now officially complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against us. Do you think these people who behave like animals, literally trampling each other over $198 laptops and $10 toasters, will even pause for a moment to consider their actions before they riot and burn entire cities when the days of hyperinflation finally arrive? when the grocery stores are bare, when they are truly desperate? This, my friends, is what a dumbed-down, morally bankrupt, completely broken society looks like, and this is how it behaves. No outrage over the bankers raping them. No outrage over their gutted industry. No outrage over their plundered dollar. Just blind, wanton stupidity. Just bread and circuses. The elite are social Darwinists, and they believe what they can get away with is fair game as long as we allow it. This is social engineering, and they've done it to us by design. They've turned us into animals that they can corral. We are no longer citizens in a republic safeguarded by our elected representatives. We are consumers feeding at a corporate trough managed by officials.
Will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve System.
Tell us who they are.
No.
If this is America, who will stop them? Our entire system is corrupt and needs to be dismantled and begun anew. But from what base? If what happened on Friday across America is any indication of the condition of the American populace, then our very foundations are built of sand. May God forgive us for what we've become and for what we've allowed to happen to our nation. And may those of us with the courage and sense to do it renounce this behavior and the monstrous marketing ploy that is Black Friday in its entirety. This, my friends, is not us. We are the Republic. We are the informed. We are the proactive ones. And it is our job to lift up those who are lost. And saving our Republic is a full-time job. May God bless the Republic.
All right, everyone. My name is Joseph Gibson, live on Blog Talk Radio. I hope you like that one, huh? The madness of a lost society. Black Friday, they were talking about there, where, you know, everyone stands in line. You know, everyone wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday. You know, they stand in line out in the cold in some places across the country. You know, sometimes lines a mile long. They have lines a mile long sometimes. Amazing. Amazing that these people will wait in line at 4:30 in the morning, but I can't get them to come on my radio show at 6:30 at night. And they can't follow instructions properly either. The madness of a lost society. That's a good one there. All you got to do is punch that into YouTube. That's pretty good video, actually. See, he talks about watching the video, and I just wanted to play the audio for you all out there because, you know, he pretty much explains it all. Do any of you know what the Federal Reserve is? Most of you don't. And you're not taught this in school, but that's no excuse because you should ask people who do know. Instead of going on Facebook and posting selfies of yourself, or worrying about getting an earring put in your nose, or whatever the hell you're doing out there, you know, you should be doing some research and finding out the madness of our lost society. We all see it around us every single day. It doesn't matter where we go, how we get there, or what time we go there. We all see the rudeness, the arrogance, and the immoral, corrupt people around us. For goodness sake, you turn on the news and read between the lines and see the nonsense that we see today. And most people just shake their head and they brush it off and they go about their day-to-day business. That's fine. You're in America. You're free right now. You're protected. But one day, you will not be. Yeah, when you see your neighbor getting hauled off on the cattle truck, well, they're going to do it a little more technological. You know, it's not going to be like it was in Nazi Germany, where they just come in like with the stormtroopers and round everybody up. They're going to do it a little more sophisticated, okay? When the dollar, like that video was talking about, when there's no more food on the grocery store shelves, when the food stamp cards are shut off, okay? When the electricity goes out sometimes for 2 weeks, sometimes for 30 days, and then they'll turn it on for a few days, and then they'll turn it back off for a month. How will you people act out there like animals and savages? We already know. Look how you act now. Look, perfect example, Black Friday. People kill each other to get through the front doors of Target and Walmart. for $198 laptops or $20 toasters. They kill each other. They don't care. People have been killed on Black Friday across America, and Black Friday is approaching again in November. We're not that far off, where all these idiots will stand in line at 4 o'clock in the morning. They'll get up for Black Friday, but they can't get up and go to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. God, how sick are we in America? Pathetic. Pathetic. Now, I could sit here and point my finger all night long and all day long and tell you what's wrong. I'm just trying to wake people up to what is really happening out there in case you don't know. And those of you who do know, I know this sounds like repetition, and we've all talked about this many times, but we're going to continue to talk about it until the problem is fixed. It is our job, like that guy says at the end. Storing the Republic and guarding the Republic is a full-time job. And it's up to us to uplift those who don't know any better. Those who are so far gone, then we have to put them where they belong, in the ground. Because when martial law is declared, and when the United States collapses, and it's taken over by military and the United Nations, dictatorship rule, okay, there's going to be people out there who are not going to tolerate that, and they're going to fight back. There's going to be an armed resistance. We all hear about it. We may laugh about it. We call those people paranoid. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are people training all around the country right now, waiting. They've been waiting for years, some of these people. Years. I met people back when I was 18 years old. They said, did you hear it? I said, what the hell are you talking about? They said, George Bush just gave the New World Order speech. It's coming. This is back in 1991. I said, what are you, nuts? What are you, freaking nuts? But he was right. George Bush gave his New World Order speech. And that means we all need to understand what is happening. Okay, George Bush gave his New World Order speech on September 11th, 1991. Does that date ring a bell, guys? September 11th, look it up. It's true. I'm not bullshitting you. Look it up. September 11th, 1991, he gave his new World Order speech. The fifth objective of the New World Order has begun. It's a big idea. Okay? It's been a big idea for many, many, many years, the New World Order. And those of you who are young out there listening tonight, you may laugh, you may giggle, and you may say, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, you're nuts. Well, let me tell you something. And you are the people who are really going to put the final nail in the coffin for people like me who know what's going on, and for those of us who are older in the older generation who have seen this coming. Okay? Because the older generation knows exactly what the hell is going on in this country right now. Now, a lot of the older generation is to blame for what is happening in this country right now, but they did what they had to do, because we saw what happened to a lady up in Kentucky when she spoke out and believed that she was not going to perform a gay marriage or offer a gay marriage license. Where'd she go? The clinker. Jail. For 3 or 4 days. I'm sure it was not fun for her. Okay? Wearing an orange jumpsuit sitting in a 10x6 cell. All because she doesn't believe in homosexuality. And most of the country was against her, I guarantee you that. Because I've read the comments on YouTube, I've read the comments across the internet, every news story, everyone has a stupid, piss-ass opinion about that situation. The fact of the matter is we can give Muslims religious exemptions. We can get, for instance, a Muslim doesn't have, when they go for their driver's license, they can cover their face and their head, you know, when they take the picture, because it's a religious exemption, because it's against their religious beliefs, because they're Muslim. And we don't want to offend the Muslims. But if I walked in there, they tell me, take your hat off, please, take your sunglasses off. Oh, you're not going to listen? You ain't getting a driver's license. That's just one example. The Muslims get a religious exemption, so why not Kim Davis in Kentucky, who doesn't believe in homosexuality? Why doesn't she get a religious exemption from performing gay marriages? No, she got thrown in jail, folks. You're next. Laugh. It's funny, isn't it? Don't worry. When you see your neighbor's door getting kicked down, you can still laugh if you want and say, oh, thank God that's not me. But don't worry. It's like the little wolf in the woods. Okay? Because when they kick your neighbors down and your community's gone and you're standing there and then they come for you, guess what? Cry wolf. Because no one's going to come help you because your neighbors are gone and all your friends are gone and your family's gone because you didn't freaking listen. And I'm talking about the people out there who don't believe things are going downhill fast, real fast. The dollar is collapsing. Yes, it's a big gimmick we got going on right now with the Federal Reserve notes around the world. But you understand these people don't care about money. They print it. They print it. They don't care. They have it all. They don't care about money. They have everything they want, everything they want to buy. They don't care like you do. You're out there working for 10 bucks an hour like a slave to try to buy things and like Black Friday. You'll kill your fellow man for a $198 laptop because you're a slave. You're going to you believe that this money, you have got to have it. You've got to, or the end of the world's coming to you. You've got to have money to survive. Listen, I know that you have to have money to buy things to survive. I understand that. But there's ways to earning money and understanding the times that we live in today. There's a way to make money. But there's also a good way to go out and chase it and lust after money because money is the root of all evil. Bill, so what? They're not going to come arrest you, all right? Knock it off. If you're late on your car payment, big deal, all right? And if you don't have enough money to pay your electric bill, then shame on you because you should. Because most of you out there have jobs, and if you're pissing away your money that you are making, your Federal Reserve notes that you do earn for your slave wages, then shame on you for your trinkets on Black Friday, like the video said. We don't need laptops. We don't need cell phones. We don't need flat-screen TVs. We don't need all these little trinkets. We just think we do because society tells us we do. They think, you know, we see it on TV because the TV tells us how to dress, how to think, and how to believe. But listen, you don't need all this stuff. You don't need it. And if you do have to have it, find the cheapest way possible to obtain it. I have a cell phone. I pay $35 a month for unlimited minutes. Boost Mobile. People say, no, not Boost Mobile. Oh, you don't get good service. Yes, I do. I get service everywhere I go, just like you. All right? But then there's people with Sprint and Verizon. They're paying. When I first got a cell phone, I thought I had to have it. And they were charging me $200 a month sometimes because I went over my minutes. The plan, the family plan, this plan, the man plan, the gay plan, this whatever, all these silly plans that all these expert marketers come out with just so they design it, just so they can rob your pocketbook or your wallet. Because believe me, there are people sitting around these desks in these big high-rise buildings who've got it all figured out how to screw you every which way possible. Your internet bill, your cable bill, trust me, if you think you're getting a good deal, you're not. You're not, because they have figured it out how they're going to screw you over in the end. The madness of a lost society. We are lost. Do any of you own gold and silver? Do any of you have material, tangible assets that you're able to barter with if the United States dollar does collapse and we go into a funk for about 2 or 3 months? Or are you going to stand at the social services or the local Walmart because, I say Walmart because you see all those aisles that are on wheels in Walmart, the store, the way it's set up? They're all going to be wheeled out of there, okay? Because they're going to be empty anyway. And they're going to set cots up because all Walmarts are fusion centers. Fusion centers are FEMA, temporary FEMA detention centers for the Civilian Inmate Labor Program. Look it up, Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot. Read it. All this information is at your fingertips, but and you call me crazy because I'm telling you about it. Well, you know what? All you have to do is look it up. Stop posting the selfies. Stop worrying about hanging around with your best friend who's going to screw you over next year, okay? Stay, you know, start learning because knowledge is power. You don't have to know it all to get by in today's world. You just have to understand it all, okay? You don't have to know it all. You just got to understand it all because nobody can know it all. Everyone claims to be a know-it-all, and don't you think I know it all, because I don't know much at all. I only know what I've learned and what I've experienced, and I'm passing that along to people who are listening. And I know there's a lot of commenters out there, because I get emails all the time. They call me names. Say your listeners are, I'll tell you what, my supporters out there, I got an email that really pissed me off earlier on today. Your listeners are a bunch of ignorant a-holes. Well, if you feel so strongly about my supporters on this show, why don't you call in and make your point known, you coward, you yellow coward, because that's what you are. I'm calling you out because I know you're listening. Call me, press 1, and make your voice known. You want to know why? Because you're afraid, because you're hiding, just like all you liberals out there, you liberal-minded people. You gay supporters, you gay marchers, you lesbians, you're all cowards in the end. Because and I say that because we know they are cowards because America was founded on what? God, guns, and guts. Those were brave men that held those muskets. They fought against a British army that was 30 times superior to them. And I want to give you a little number here. Population of the colonies. Only 3% of the men picked up their muskets and fought in the Revolutionary War. All the rest were against them. 3% of the population. Okay? Those were brave men. They lost their farms. They lost their families in some cases. They were burned alive. They stood up and they fought for the land that you stand on right now and call America. So if you're not going out and doing something and opening your mouth, and you younger people too, because you have the energy and you have the strength to do it, we are calling upon you to wake up. Stop the nonsense, please, for God's sake. We're in trouble. That was my introduction tonight. I hope some of you enjoyed it. I hope, like I said, the show starts to fizzle out at the end and we lose a lot of people that are listening. I will cut us off early. I originally scheduled this show for an hour, but I had some people email me and tell me they were going to call in tonight. So I really do hope they do, and they press 1 and contribute tonight. So if you want to contribute, now is your time. The phone number is 657-383-0616. Press 1. I'll put you on live. You can comment on the things that I'm talking about. Hey. Or you could talk about something that we may have talked about last week, the week before, what have you. It doesn't matter because the floor is yours, folks. The show is yours. Without you, I have no show. It's up to you to come forward and talk about the things on your mind and what. And listen, if you're nervous, it's okay. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to call you names. Funny, okay? Listen, I'm the host. I know this crap. I'll help you along. All right, we got somebody already. Here we go. Go ahead, 203, Wallingford, Connecticut. Hey, you're on. How you doing tonight?
Hey. I'm doing
good. Who do I got here? Who do I got
John.
Here? Oh, John. I was talking about you last night, John. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
All right, well, what do you think about what I talked about, because you must have been listening, because now I see your number. You're calling. I think you're calling from a different number. But what do you think about what I talked about tonight as far as America? Do you understand the New World Order? Do you understand any of the things that I was talking about coming from the younger generation that you are a part of?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. Okay. Well, give me your take on what I talked about tonight. Just your personal opinion. Do you think I'm full of crap? Or do you see what I'm talking about happening today? Just be honest with me.
I see where you're going. I think I do agree with you. I'm not, like, like I said, I really don't know much about this. So.
Does it bother you? Does it bother you or scare you? Savannah wants to come on the line. Okay, Savannah.
Yeah. Okay,
hey, Savannah. Hi. I know I've spoken with you about the New World Order and everything. What, does it scare you? Does it bother you? I mean, what do you think about the New World Order and the things that I've been talking about? Does it scare you, or do you want to, like, brush it under the carpet and forget about it and say whatever happens, happens?
Well, it kind of, like, scares me, but, like, just I kind of, like, have to, like, still live my life. So, like, I can't just,
well,
like,
Savannah,
be, like, on my mind all the time.
Savannah, I understand what you're saying. And listen, you can't walk around paranoid like I talked about last night's show. But you have to be mindful of your surroundings. And you have to educate and you have to understand. Now, I understand you have peer pressure because you're a teenager. And you have peer pressure surrounding you. And most of your friends probably do not know anything about what I'm talking about. However, I remember last week when you called in, you were telling me some of the things that they're teaching you in high school today. And it's appalling. It's a, like, for instance, what grade are you in right now, Savannah?
10th.
You're in 10th grade, so you're a sophomore in high school, correct? What courses do you have to take now, and can you give me, like, some of, I know you can't tell me exactly everything, but what interests you in the high school today as to what they're teaching you? Are they teaching you knowledgeable things that you can use in your day-to-day life, or are you just getting along to get along and get through the day, make your grades, and move on to the next grade?
Yeah, like, basically, you don't really get to pick, like, your classes. Like, you get to, like, pick, like, the level you want to take, like, if it's, like, easier or whatever. But you basically just have to, like, you're, like, taught to just, like, try, like, your best to, like, get the best grades.
Okay, to get on to what? 11th grade, and then you got 12th grade and you graduate. Well, let me ask you this, though. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but being in 10th grade right now, after you graduate from high school, what are your plans? Do you have a future planned right now, or you just don't know yet?
I'm not really sure yet.
Okay. Hey, that's honest. Yeah, you don't have to be embarrassed about that. But what I'm trying to bring a point across here is that most people from the older generation, when they were in high school, they kind of knew where they were going when they graduated high school. Either they were going into college, or they were going to go off to the military, or they had a particular trade that they were interested in. You understand what I'm getting at? Now, Okay, well, in high school, tell me something. I'm not trying to put you in a position where you're going to insult your friends or other people that may be listening, because I'm sure you told your friends to listen. Now, your friends, as far as what I'm talking about tonight, am I kind of not interesting people of your generation talking about the United States dollar collapsing, the Federal Reserve, you know, like the opening video, the madness of a lost society. Do your friends take heed and are concerned about things like that, or do they really just not care?
Well, we don't really have, like, a lot of, like, background knowledge on it, so it's kind of, like, hard to talk about it.
All right. So what I'm trying to get at is when you guys are hanging out together, listen, I was in high school too, so you got to remember, I was your age one time too. And when I was cruising around with my friends, we talked about what was happening in the world around us a lot, you know, because I came from a different generation than you. So what I'm trying to say is when you're hanging out with your friends, do you guys talk about, like, for instance, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton? I mean, do you talk about anything that's affecting the United States today? I mean, are you addressing it at all in any type of way?
Yeah, especially on, like, social media. Like, we see, like, a lot of stuff that happens, so it kind of just, we talk about
all
that,
right,
like, with Donald Trump and everything.
All right. So because of social media, you're able to stay connected with the world, but you don't, like you said earlier, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Basically, because you have no knowledge. Nobody's taught you. You don't know where to go to obtain this knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And they're sure as hell not teaching you at school, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me something. At school, let me. I want to just throw this out there because did you hear about the story about a kid that brought a clock to school and they thought it was a bomb and they arrested him? Did you hear about that story?
Oh yeah. I did.
You did.
Oh yeah.
All right. Yeah. So. What do you think about that, in your opinion? I mean, if you brought a clock to school that was all disassembled or like some sort of project, would that have happened to you in your school in the Wallingford, Connecticut?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Okay. All right. Well, at least you're being honest. And what's your opinion about that? I mean, do you have an opinion? I mean, because let me tell you something. When I went to school, I walked around with a knife in my pocket. Nobody checked. Nobody asked. And I never used it, obviously, but have a knife in their pocket, switchblade, because that was the thing to do. It was cool. Today, if you walked around with a knife in your pocket, what would happen in your school? What would happen? You'd be arrested and expelled, probably for good, huh?
Expelled. Probably expelled.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Savannah and John, you're two teenagers, and I thank you for your input. I hope you stay on the line or just stay listening. Because other people are on the line and they want to contribute too. So I'll go right down the line here because I got three other callers. So I hope you guys stay on because they might want to ask you some questions. So I'm going to put Joe from Meriden, Connecticut on the line. Okay, Savannah? Just watch your background noise. All right? All right, Joe from Meriden. Hey, you're on.
I'm on. Hello, Savannah. Hello, John. I spoke about John a few shows ago. Yeah, you know, in your opening there, you have a little clip from the 2008-2009, I don't know what you would call it, when everything went down the tubes with Bernanke. And they're asking where the $2.3 trillion went. And what he basically said was he gave it to anybody that he wanted to. That's what he said. And when they asked for a name, you hear what he says? No, I'm not telling you who I gave it to. Bernanke also went on at that time, and he said, I'm going to drive around in a helicopter, and I'm going to drop $100 bills all over the United States. That's what he said. And that's your Federal Reserve. That's where your money comes from. And so you can see what he thinks about it. It's worthless. That's what he thinks about it.
Well,
and he's not going to tell you.
He wasn't going to drop from helicopters. You're right. It's paper. Savannah, if you're still on the line, do you know what the Federal Reserve is? You do. What is the Federal Reserve? Can you tell me?
Isn't it like, I don't know. I kind of forget.
All right. The Federal Reserve.
Isn't it like with like Congress?
No. The Federal Reserve is the central bank that prints the money you want every single day and that you use. They're not a part of the government at all whatsoever. Joe, can you explain it to her maybe a little bit better than I can?
I don't have a really good knowledge on it, and I'm going to get it wrong and everything like this. But if the government needs money, they'll go to the Treasury or whatever, and the Treasury or not the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the Treasury will ask the Federal Reserve for money. The Federal Reserve will make a check out basically for whatever amount of money they want. And they'll give it to the Treasury. The Treasury will deposit that check into their checking account. The money came out of thin air. It came from nowhere. And now the Treasury has money in its account, but it has to pay back interest to the Federal Reserve. Because the most powerful thing in the universe, according to Benjamin Franklin, is compound interest. Because it's money from nothing. And when countries borrow money between countries, And it gets to the time where a country cannot pay that money back, what the other countries generally do is loan them more money because they do not want them to not pay them back, because that's the worst thing that can happen, is not to pay your bills. So they give them more money. And that's
all right.
Basically the gist of it. Did I do all right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. You're correct. Now, Savannah, don't you, in high school, don't you have an economics class that teaches you, or a calculus class that teaches you math or money or the creation of money? I mean, or a civics class? I mean, I don't understand. What courses are you taking right now in the 10th grade? Can you tell me?
We're taking world history.
World history. Okay. What else?
That's only social studies class.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you have a math class, English class, and what have you? I mean,
we're taking geometry, world literature, and biology.
Okay. All right, geometry, your geometry class. Okay, what are they teaching you in geometry? Just basic calculus or basic numbers? I mean, I don't understand. When you go sit in your classroom in the beginning of the – I'm not trying to interrupt you. When you go sit in your classroom or you start your day out, what curriculum is really – what are they trying to stress or bring about to teach our younger kids out there? I mean, what I'm trying to – I mean, it's hard for me to say. I don't know how to ask the question, but what are you learning? You know?
Well, like, in math, we just, like, learn about, like, right now we're learning about, like, triangles.
Triangles. What, algebra?
Trigonometry?
No, geometry.
Geometry.
Geometry, okay. All right,
yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Well, see, those are good things to know, and they're teaching them something, geometry and trigonometry. But what I also wanted to say is most people, they graduate high school, college, they have a trade, they get up, they go to work, they make a good living, they come home, they watch TV or do whatever they want to do, they get up, they go to work, and it's the same thing day after day. They spend all their money, they really have nothing to rely on, they're broke. Yeah, they start saving some money and everything, and they put money in the bank, but unless you're making big bucks, you know, it's a never-ending cycle. Wake up, go to work, come home, spend your money. Wake up, go to work, spend your money. So those people that pick the trades or the professions, I should say, where you can make big money. I'm not talking about 10 times the minimum wage. Maybe 10,000 times the minimum wage. You know, you could probably get somewhere and acquire the things you want. That what most people do, though, is they're going to spend the money they haven't even made yet, because we got to have this BMW, because this Volkswagen Jet is not good enough, so we're going to go broke doing it. And the same holds true for houses and everything else. And we were talking about, Joe was talking about gold and silver. Do you own any gold and silver? Well, this brings me back to what I talked about, John. John wants to go into service. You know, just... I'm not saying you should do this, but it's a thought. Anything that has an intrinsic value is valuable, especially if the dollar crashes or they turn off your electricity or the supermarkets are bare. Anything that has value, even pennies before 1982 are worth almost three times as much as their face value, and they can be melted and turned into things like bullets, because that's what they did during the war. They took all the pennies and turned them into bullets. Old extension cords, strip them down, you get the copper. Copper's at $3 a pound. I'm not saying you should go out and hoard all this stuff and turn your yard into a junkyard, but you got to pick the road you want to go down in life. And if you want to go to school and go to college and be that guy making 100,000 times minimum wage, that's fine. If you want to start your own business and be your own person, you have to figure the way to go. And knowing that the dollar is in trouble, and then the United States is in trouble, you know, you have to figure out what you need to do to protect yourselves. And just saving something of value may pay off big in the long run.
All right. Well, I got Mike. I got Mike that wants to come on, too, right now. So go ahead, Mike. Mike out in Wisconsin. Hey.
Hey, good evening or afternoon, everybody. You know,
Joe?
Hi, Joe. You were just talking about exactly where I was going to go. And the reason I'm saying this is, you know, Savannah probably don't even know who I am. But, you know, my wife and I ran a boarding kennel for over 20 years. And the majority of our employment people were teenagers and college students. And I would say that on an average, 5-6% knew where they were going in life. The other 95% were just along for the ride.
And that's what Savannah. That's why I asked Savannah that question. Do you have any plans or do you have any future plans? And she said not yet. And so she's just going along for the ride right now. You know.
Right. And We had a girl working for us for about 4 years. She was a great girl, great with the public and everything. And she was going to Carroll College down the street. And every year I'd ask her, I said, well, what are you taking for classes this year? Oh, well, I'm taking zoology. I said, oh, really?
Yeah.
So you want to come out and work in the zoo? No. I said, well, then what are you taking it for? Gives me credits.
That's right. And that's what Savannah was saying. And that's what Savannah was saying, Mike, is that she has requirement courses that she has to take. But one thing before I forget, and I'm not trying to interrupt you, Mike. You can carry on right after I finish. But Savannah and John, you're teenagers.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, what is the most important thing you guys are thinking about every single day? Besides boyfriend and girlfriend stuff. What is the most important thing that you think about when you wake up? And then we're going to compare it to what we're thinking about. So what do you think of when you wake up in the morning? What are you worried about? What are your plans for the day? And do you plan for tomorrow, or are you just living day to day? I mean, what's on your mind? We want to know what's on your mind.
Not even like school, but like they give us like a lot of homework. So it's like you go to school all day and then you have to.
Well, Savannah, I'm not talking about school. I'm talking about you as a human being the age that you are. I'm not talking about just going to school every day. I'm talking about when you wake up as a human being and being a part of the younger generation in that social network, because you said you pay attention to social media and that's how you keep up on things. What are you concerned about? I mean, what are your main priorities? Who's your best friends? What are you worried about? You know, I mean, like you said, all right? You know where I'm getting at?
I'm not really worried about too much.
Okay, you don't worry about too much.
Yeah.
Well, you have to have some sort of, I mean, you know, like you have to have like some sort of like what direction you want to go on. Like for instance, John, where does John want to go in life? What are your plans? I mean, you have to have some sort of agenda during the day. Like when I wake up in the morning, I'm worried about providing for my family. And I have my day planned out. I have tomorrow planned out. I have next week planned out. Like Mike out in Wisconsin, I'm sure he knows what he's going to be doing tomorrow. You know, but you're sitting here saying as a teenager, you know, hey, I wake up, I got to do what I got to do, and that's it. But what about John? John, how about you, John? Where are you going? I mean, where are you going in life?
Well, I already know, like, when I graduate high school or get my GED, I'm going to the Army. And after that, after I finish the Army, I'm going to try to get a construction job because, like, all my family members just work in construction because that's, I don't know, because, like,
So you're a builder. You're a builder. You're a creator. You like to create things. You're a builder.
Yeah, like a hands-on guy.
Okay. All right, so you know where you're going. Okay. Now, Mike, I want to get back to Mike real quick because I interrupted him. Mike, carry on your point, or you want to carry on what I was trying to talk about there about the younger generation, because like I said, we know what we're doing tomorrow. We have a family. We have a house. We got bills to pay. We know what we got to do. They don't. So what's your opinion on that, or if you want to go back to what you were originally talking about? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But
Well, let's put it this way. If you asked a 5 or 6 or 7 year old child, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a ball player. Okay? At least they have something in their mind that they're, you know, they want to be. They want to be. This generation doesn't even have that in their psyche. You know, it's just like Savannah says. She wakes up and the day is what the day is.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and just like I was saying about the college kids. You know, they're taking courses to fill up their credits so they can graduate. And this girl, she stayed with us all the way until she graduated. But she's out working at Petco. Because you know what her degree is? It's wallpaper.
What?
Oh, jeez.
It's not worth anything. She took all these classes just to get enough credits to graduate. To say
interior
graduated.
Decorator. Interior decorator?
Yep. Exactly. You know, and I used to tell her, Stephanie, you know, why don't you take something that'll help you when you get out? You know, you must want to do something in your life.
Well, yeah, maybe she has a plan. Maybe she has a plan, Mike. Because let me say this. Maybe she has a plan. You see, what I said before about Benjamin Franklin and compound interest. Compound interest is the most powerful thing in the universe. And like John wants to go into construction. That's good. This girl, Stephanie, or John, working by themselves, they'll likely never get anywhere. But if you take what I said about Benjamin Franklin and extrapolate it out to its final conclusion, you could make something of it. In other words, Stephanie hires 27 other people to go out and make money for her. Now she's got 27 streams of income that she doesn't have to do anything for. And the same holds true for John. So the thing is to have a plan. Just don't say, I want to go out and work in construction, because you know what? Construction gets old quick, and so does interior decorating, and you get old, and when you get sick, you don't have any income. But when you have other people working for you, you still get that income.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you know what? I want to be an astronaut. Big deal. You know, I mean, so what's my plan for tomorrow? I'm going to go out and mow a few lawns. You know, so, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. And that's good to have goals and wants in life, but what are you doing to get to that goal? John said he's going into the service, he's going to go into the military, and when he gets out, hopefully he'll have that trade, you know, where, I mean, I don't understand how in the military they'll teach you construction unless you go into engineering. I mean, John, are you still there, John?
Yes.
All right. Well, what branch of the military, I mean, what do you think you're going to benefit in the military to benefit your construction, you know, goals?
Like, I'm just going to the Army because, like, I really don't have a job yet, and I can't find one. So the Army is, like, my only choice in order to get a job, like, right now in life.
So what are you saying? If you go into the Army, it'll look good on your resume when you want to go into construction? Okay. All right. Well, that's true. A lot of people hire veterans. You're right.
Can I ask John why he can't get a job? And are you looking for a specific job and you're waiting for that? Will you take anything that comes along?
Take anything that comes along.
Well,
that's
really
kind of,
like,
that's
some
kind of sad for our country, isn't it?
What's that, Mike? Say that again.
That's kind of sad for our country when we have an
isn't
individual
it?
That will come into your store. You have a help wanted, and he'll say, you know, I need a job. You know, I'd love to work for you. Give me a chance. You know, and you know, they don't hire him because, you know, for one reason or another, but. You know, it's sad that you have someone that's
going
to work.
Well, Mike, that's the problem, you know, like you just said, is that John will take anything he's got, and he has no gumption. When he fills out an application, hey, you got anything here I can do? Well, what do you want in life? What are you looking for? You know, he doesn't have an answer. I got to go into the military. I got to look good for when I go apply for a job, because he is right. Because when you walk into a place of business, you know what, Mike? There's so much competition out there now. You can go apply at McDonald's, and they won't even hire you anymore. You know, I mean,
That's right. It's
crazy. It's crazy. It's insane. You know, and what's McDonald's? What? You know, $7 an hour, $8 an hour? At the end of the week, what are you bringing home?
Well, the same holds true with everything that we're talking about, and what everyone is concerned here about is the dollar. Now, remember this. The money that you get is the product of your effort. Don't go after the money. If you do something that's right, and you do something that's good, and you do something that you love, and like I said, you do it right, the money will come, like my previous explanation. Get those 27 other construction workers working for you. The money will come for you. If all you're doing is out there working just to get the money, you're never going to get anywhere. They call it a job for a reason, a J-O-B, because you're just over broke, and that's why they call it that. Right.
Yep.
So you have to figure out how to get through life and how to get to your goal. The money is what you use to get there, and you're going to get more of it as you go. But like I said, if you spend it before you get it, then you'll never get anywhere.
But well, in I think John's I got Bridget. Sense. Well, listen, I got Bridget who's been waiting a long time. I think she wants to come on. I don't know if she's still there or not, but because I did see her number. But and I don't want to be rude. So, Bridget, are you still there? Bridget.
Hello?
Are you still there? Yes, Bridget, you're on. Go ahead. I know you've been waiting a while. You're probably falling asleep, but.
No, I didn't fall asleep. I was just trying to be patient. I just wanted to chime in about, well, of course I know something about the New World Order. I don't know maybe as much as other people, but as far as the younger generation, I was just going to say, I know it may be boring to them and maybe not as interesting as other things, but you really need to pay attention to it and research it because it is going to affect you in the future. And it's going to affect how you can plan your future because things are just going downhill. I'm reading stories every day about things that are happening. And if you're not aware, you can't protect yourself against
well,
being
what about
deceived.
John? What about John? What advice do you have to give to John, Bridget, about going into the military in the future and then getting out and going into construction? I mean, we don't know the timetable exactly when the dollar is going to crash, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe it's going to happen within the next 5 to 10 years, and that will put John and Savannah in their mid-20s. So, you know, what advice do you have to give to them, you know, how they're going to be able to accomplish their goals or succeed? You know, while this new world order is coming about,
I don't think we have that much more, you know, years before it's going to get really bad. As far as John going into the military, I would advise against it. I have
really?
A feeling that things are going to go down, and you know, would you really want to be there when it happens? You know,
yeah,
would you really want to be in that position? I mean, that's something
go
to
ahead,
think
John,
about.
Let John
I mean,
answer. Let John answer your question. I mean, do you want to really be there, John, when, you know, World War III breaks out?
Obviously not, but that's, like, the only thing I could do right now. Like, it's just really hard for me.
Well, like Joe said, John, right? You're chasing that dollar. You need money to survive, right?
You want some good advice? You want some good advice? Well, I think I've given you some throughout the call, but the best advice, and I heard it today, was from a guy who teaches students in school. And when they start, he says, don't worry about taking notes because there isn't going to be a test. But what he also said is he wants them to find the answer, know how to find the answer to their problems. That's all he wants. And that's what you have to do with the information that comes to you throughout your life. And as you're getting older, the time is dwindling.
That's right. As time goes on, right now, John, you're in good shape. You're young. You can talk. You can walk. And you can get places. And, you know, you're in good shape. And you got your health. So what Joe's saying is right. Time is dwindling. Take advantage. Use your brain. Use your muscles. You know what? Try to get ahead. And don't piss away what you make out of life. You know? Don't waste it.
Yeah.
Joe, I mean, Mike, I know Mike kind of got bad, and Bridget, too. But, Bridget, is there anything else you want to say real quick?
No, I just basically wanted to say, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, worrying about it doesn't do any good. It's not going to affect anything or make it stop, but being aware is important because I think the people that aren't aware are going to be the people that are going to be deceived when everything
that's a good point.
Falls into
that's
place.
That's a good point, Bridget, and you know what? You're right. And John and Savannah and anyone else who's younger out there listening, and even for the older people, I'm not trying to scare people. If you do believe me, I know some of you may think I'm full of shit, but that's fine because I challenge you to do your own research. But I'm not trying to scare you either. What I'm trying to do is educate you, and just like the other supporters, Joe, Mike, Bridget, everyone that calls in here, you know, we're trying to uplift you to bring you forward so that you can make something of yourself, so you can help our community and your community. So you know what? Maybe we can have some sort of awakening in this country, and we don't have all these deadbeats running around destroying what our ancestors and our founding fathers gave us. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, my advice for John and Savannah, if they really, really want a job, then if I went in and filled out an application, and of course, 99% of the time they're going to say, well, I'll give it to the manager and we'll get back to you. You know, and if you never go back in, and if you never go back in and bring up to say, hey, I filled an application out yesterday, the day before, last week, you know, did somebody look at it or what? Because, you know, that girl that took it behind the counter might not like you and it went in the garbage. You know,
but true.
What I'm trying to say is persistence will get you a job. If you think you're going to fill out an application and go home and wait for the phone to ring, you're going to be waiting for a while.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah. And, John, what kind of experience have you had going and applying for jobs? Where have you worked already in your life? Anywhere? Or, I mean, what, you know, just like what experience do you have as of now, and where have you worked in the past?
Well, I work with my uncle. He has, like, a landscaping business. And, like, he works in construction, and sometimes he would take me to his work so I could help him out, and, like, I would get some couple bucks so I could, like, eat tonight and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
So you could.
Well,
so you, did you say so you could eat tonight?
Yeah, like, my mom, well, I don't have a father. Like.
Okay.
I have a single mom. Yeah.
Okay.
She don't get paid good.
Okay. So you're contributing to the family so you could eat and survive, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I got to respect that. There's nothing wrong with that. At least you're not robbing and stealing, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, John, though, that's good. That's very respectful. But you need to take a lot of the people that are on the line tonight's advice. You know, I mean, I know it's hard, but, like, I don't know what your schedule is day to day. I don't know what you like to do for fun, and I don't know what hours you're available. But, you know, you need to go out there. Like, let me give you an example, okay? When I was in high school, I went to Lyman Hall High School in Wallingford, Connecticut, okay? And when I got out of school, I would walk to Stella's Pizza. You know where Stella's Pizza is in Wallingford?
Yeah.
Okay, I worked there, John, when I was 14 and 15 years old, all right? I went there, and I would start work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I stayed there till 11:30, 12 midnight as a chef, as a cook, as a dishwasher. And I worked there 5 days a week. Saturday and Sundays was time and a half because, you know, I wasn't supposed to be working full time. I was being paid under the table. I hope the IRS isn't listening. But, you know, he paid me cash. And you know what? I had a pocket full of money going to high school at that time. And let me tell you something. I was freaking tired. But you know what? Hey, I was out there hustling. You know, that's what I call hustling. That's honest hustling. And
You had some good advice, and I'm gonna put it in a little more perspective. If you getting the job is more work than the job that you're actually going to do, trust me, you're going to expend more effort and energy and mental awareness trying to get a decent job than what you actually do when you're at work. So like Mike said, you've got to keep trying. Just don't go turn in an application and hope for the best. Call them back. Show up. You know what? Because people want people to work for them that will actually be there and do something. Anybody that just comes in and calls and puts in an application and never see them again, I wouldn't hire that person either. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I got two things to say. One was about Joey just saying that he got out of Lyman Hall and walked to Stella's. that's about 3 miles, at least. You know,
yeah.
He didn't have anybody give him a ride. You know, and some days it might have been raining, some days it might have been snowing. You know, he still did it because
that's right.
You know, a job was important. And just I'll give you something about myself. Before I moved to Wisconsin, I lived in Connecticut, just there in Wallingford, and I wanted to get a job for Pratt & Whitney Aircraft. I must have went to Pratt & Whitney Aircraft 150 times to have an interview each time for them to say, we're not hiring, there's no positions. And one day, I went in there, and the guy goes, well, I'm gonna offer you a position. And I'm like, wow, thank you very much. He says, well, I'm really getting sick and tired of telling you no. You know? And that was his explanation.
So basically, the moral of the story, Mike, is be a pest. Just keep bothering them. Keep saying, hey, what about that job? Hey, I was in there last week. Is there any openings yet?
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. In other words, if you pester them, you'll probably get the job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. But anyway, John, you still listening, buddy?
Hey, John, a pizza bar would be great. Hell, you'd have one. I mean, you'd have supper, and you get paid for it.
Well, he already has experience.
Portuguese bread is great, too.
You know, he already has experience in construction, you know.
Right, I'll tell you something. When I go in the store, I buy the Portuguese bread because it's not loaded all full of toxic chemicals and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's good, but we're not talking about that.
No, but,
anyway,
but we're talking about we're talking about a baker, though.
Yeah, well, he's in construction.
Yeah. Well, he is now when he's 16. He doesn't know what life's going to hand him.
Well, he doesn't, I know, but I'm sure he doesn't have time to go out and bake his own bread right now. Oh, he's looking for money. You know, but John, let me tell you this, John. Listen, keep doing, I mean, you sound like you got a good head on your shoulders, and you are trying to do the right thing, but as of right now, what opportunities do you have laying in front of your eyes right now as far as part-time work so you can eat tonight? What position are you in right now?
Well, like I said, I work with my uncle. Like, I just wait for my uncle to call me, and usually I call him, but most likely he'll call me if he has, like, a job that, like, I could get paid for.
Okay, but John, you don't have to just rely on your uncle. Is there anyone building houses around in Wallingford, or is there any construction sites where you can walk up and say, hey, I could be a laborer?
Basically, I used to do landscaping by myself, but since the economy got bad, like, people are just taking over, like, every single house, and, like, people already have, like, people that will cut their grass and stuff like that, so I have no job right now. I can't do that.
Well, why? Do you have equipment? Do you have equipment that you have access to do landscaping?
No, he's too young to work with
he's
too young to work with equipment. That's why he can't get a real good job.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, John,
how do you?
Okay, so you have lawnmowers and stuff where you can go out and knock on people's door and say, hey, can I cut your grass? Well, let me give you a piece of advice. When you knock on that person's door and they say, I'm sorry, we already have someone, so we'll say, how much are they charging you per week or per cut or per month? Because I'll tell you what, you do that.
Yeah, I do that.
What I'm saying is undercut them. You know, undercut them, underbid them, bid them. Even if you have to take a loss.
Well, most of them think I'm unexperienced, but it's not true. Like, I'm pretty experienced in it.
Well, John, that's, you know, representation is a big key when you talk. It's like, for instance, my nephew Alex. I made fun of him when he came on the radio show. You know, I mean, I wasn't trying to put him down, but he was talking. Well, they can't carry on a conversation. You see how I'm talking to you right now? I want you to talk to me the same way. And when someone knocks on my door and they want to work for me, I want someone to speak to me like I'm speaking to them. Representation is a key, you know?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Get John's information. Talk to Justin.
Well, yeah, I know, I will. I talked to John on through emails and everything, and I will. But what I'm trying to say, John, is that my brother, who lives in the state of Connecticut, has a large landscaping business, and I'll try to put you in contact with him.
Oh, my God, no way. Are you serious right now?
Yeah, I am dead serious.
All right,
contacts, contacts are the most important.
That's right. See, word of mouth. Friends, John, what did I tell you when you emailed me about coming on to the show again as a guest? I said word of mouth. You get to know friends. One day, this word of mouth will help you. Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
but you have to remember. You have to remember, he's only 16. So for a real job, he's not going to be allowed to do the things that anyone 18 and over can do. So, but it's something.
What did I just tell him earlier? When I was 15, I was working under the table. If you're a good worker and that guy wants you there and you're going to bust your ass and you know how to talk to people, you know what? It doesn't matter about rules and regulations because that employer is in the same situation you and I are in. We're all out there hustling, and you know what? We need to make a living. And you know what? We have to work together, and we got to do the right thing. So what I'm trying to say is, go ahead, Mike.
Wasn't that after you came back from the farm, Joe?
Oh, yes, it was. That was the last year I was out on the farm working, I got a job at Stella's Pizza. That's correct.
Okay. Well, that probably gave you the inspiration to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I needed money.
If you don't do it for yourself, no one else will.
That's right. But John, I'll message you on Facebook after the show tonight, and we'll get you in contact with my brother in Wallingford, Connecticut, somehow, some way. And hey, you want to work? Then hey, it's up to you. After that, we can only show you the door; we can't walk you through it. You know?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, man. That's
I appreciate
great.
It. But hey, Mike, anything else?
That's what this show is all about.
That's right. We just made it. Last night we were complaining because we said that's what this show was about, to help people amongst each other. And Mike brought up a problem about his golf cart the other night. And I think tonight, hey, everything happens for a reason. So tonight, hey, we may have helped out a teenager in the state of Connecticut to, hey, like you said, eat tonight, right?
Yeah.
Well, anything else? Anyone else want to add something real quick for the night before I start getting ready to close it out?
I'm done.
All right. How about you, Mike? Anything? You want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm glad you, just like John, we're not picking on you. We're not trying to tell you what to do. We're just giving you advice. And, you know,
I always say
advice is free. Take it or leave it.
That's right. Hey, John, I'll stay in contact with you on Facebook. I will help you. Hey, you supported the show. You gave us something else to talk about tonight. And we're all here to help each other. And thanks to Savannah, we had two younger people call in tonight. And that says a lot. In a way, where here we are talking bad about the younger generation, but you know what? I had a lot of elderly and younger and adults listening tonight. Why didn't you press 1 and call in? You know? Think about that tomorrow when we're on, okay? Because everyone's opinion matters, and I've advertised the show, and I'll continue to advertise it. We will grow slowly but surely. God bless to everyone who is listening. And really, it's great. It's a great thing. I mean, if we can help people and help each other out and grow a network here, you know, it'd really be great. I mean, I think I got Bridget that just sent me a message. She wants to say one thing real quick, and I'll put her on. Yes, you were muted. Go ahead, Bridget. How you doing?
I figured I was muted because I said hello and nobody answered. So,
yeah,
I just wanted to say, as far as to the, you know, to John and Savannah and the younger ones that were on, when you think about picking a career, think about something that somebody is always going to need. That way, you know, you don't lose your job because it becomes unnecessary.
That's right.
Something
that's
that,
right.
A career path that you could choose where somebody is always going to need you to do that particular thing that you may decide you want to do. I think that's the smartest way to go about it.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Bridget. I appreciate it. And John, Savannah, Mike, Joe, Bridget, everyone, we had good calls on tonight. We had the 6-5 callers. That's good. And we had about up to about 12 people in the chat room and a couple hundred on the iPhones. So and they can't contribute at all. They just listen through the browser of their iPhone. I don't know how that works, the iSmartphone thing. But, hey, it was a good show tonight. And join us tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., same time. Hopefully we'll get a couple others that will contribute, you know, because it's worth it. God bless. Take care. And
Hey, Joe.
Yes, what?
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
About your Monday and afternoon quarterback.
Yes, go ahead.
Boy, those Cowboys really took it in the last couple of seconds, didn't they?
Yes, I'm happy about that. And I screwed up the show this week. I came on late, actually, and, you know, it was my fault, actually. So, but, yeah, Monday morning quarterback. Let's hope the Dallas Cowboys win this Sunday. I need someone to chime in on Mondays at 1 o'clock. I need a co-host so we can talk about sports together. It's hard to do it by myself, you know. So I need someone to talk about it with me, you know. So there we go. But anyway, listen, let's wrap it up. God bless. I'm trying to find the closing theme here, so I'll go ahead and do that now. God bless. Take care. Good night.
Not my country. My country is me and my family.
Your country's also Huerta and the governor, the landlords, Gunther Ruiz and his locusts. This little revolution we're having here.
Revolution? Revolution, please don't try to tell me about revolution. I know all about the revolutions and how they start. The people that read the books, they go to the people that don't read the books. They put people and say, ho, ho, the time has come to have a change. Sit, shush. I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the revolutions.
The people who read the books go to the people who can't read the books. The poor people and say, we have to have a change so the poor people make the change, huh?
And then the people who read the books, they all sit around the big polished tables and they talk and talk and talk and eat and eat and eat. Huh? But what has happened to the poor people? They're dead! That's your revolution.
So please, don't tell me about revolutions.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not point fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
A palace in which there is no king or queen or dukes or earls or princes, but subjects, all subjects beholden to each other to make a better place to live. Is that too much to ask? Are we asking too much? Is it beyond our reach? Because if it is, then we are nothing but sheep being herded to the final slaughterhouse. I will not go down that way. I choose to fight back. I choose to rise, not fall. I choose to live, not die. And I know that what's within me is also within you. That's why I ask you now. Join me. Rise up with me. Rise up on the wings of this flame. Will we? up his standard and raise it up. Carry it forward until this city, your city, our city, his city, is a palace again.
Up that 9/11 was an inside job, and you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children, not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, names synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead. You need God in America again.
Right.
Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, "We've staked our future in our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart." These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, "You can't have national morality apart from religious principle," and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again.
The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again.
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's
you
dead and dying
hand
is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is
you
going
have
to fall.
The maximum time
if there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. America to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand, and send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from, and let the Word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the Word of God in school. The only hope for America.
Majority allows their nation to lose its common sense. That nation is lost, and you are allowing them to take your country away from you. Is it common sense to adore at the altar of multiculturalism? Read your world history. Not one nation has survived as a multiculture. It's the uniculture that is your strength. One country, one culture, one language. Is it common sense that 84% of the people want to make English the official language of America, but your majority political party espouses insanity, ignores the people, and says no? Is it common sense that 53 countries, mostly in Africa, have declared English to be their national language, and the party who declares we will unite you says press 2 for Spanish? Is it common sense to adopt your new national religion of diversity when the very word means disunity? We founded a country on similarities, not diversities. One country, one culture, one language. You cry out for unity, but is it common sense to continue to identify yourselves by your ethnicities and not your nationalism? White-America, Black-America, Chinese-America, Hispanic-American, Gay and Lesbian-American, the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Woman's Caucus. You want unity? Change your language. Isn't it time, once again, we all became just plain Americans? Or is that too
you
much
You have reached
sense?
The voicemail
is
box
your new
of...
common sense now to stand up and cheer when a presidential candidate wants to hand over the health care system to that same government
you
who
have
has run Social
maximum...
Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and 12 other entitlement programs into bankruptcy? A government bureaucracy who can't run a railroad, your airports, secure your borders, or find 15 to 20 million illegal...